Open your Bibles, please, this morning to the first book of Corinthians in the 9th chapter. And let's begin reading with me, if you would, please, at verse 24. I've had these verses on my mind for some time, and Brother Ruckman, one night he did some work with these, and just had a burden about it. Let's read it together. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain.
Amen.
And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning humbly, respectfully, expecting you to work. Lord, we just ask you today to give me the freedom and ease to preach the Word of God that only you can give. Lord, I ask to touch the lost people in this room that they might see where they sit. Lord, I pray for the saved people in this room that have sat down, have given up, that they might get up again and begin and finish a race, Lord. May we be finishers. I ask you to work here today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I've been interested. It's an interesting analogy, I think, that Paul, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would make an analogy between a race, a Greek race, and a spiritual work. You know, an Olympics, if you were, and something you're trying to do for God. It says here, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. Now, you think about it. What he's talking about here, he's referring back to some Greek games, great games he used to watch. And the people that ran and participated in those games were people born of Greek parents. They were born into it, and only Greeks could run. It says here, know ye not that they which run, here's unique honor. You think about a unique honor.
Amen.
To participate in the games like that. A unique honor to be part of that. You think about the Olympics. It's that the Olympics are kind of the what has come out of all this. We watch this every 4 years. And you think about the Olympics. Now, not everybody is participating in the Olympic Games.
Right.
You know, not the whole crowd's not in there. It's just a few people.
Right.
Just a few people. It's just a few athletes that have given up their time, given up their life, given up what they want, and have striven and have worked. And they're there because of their commitment. They're there because that they saw something that they wanted. They're there because there's a goal. And it's they that are going to run.
Amen.
You know, they always pan to the audience, and up there is a guy, he's sitting down, and you know, he's got a pizza in his lap and a bucket of popcorn and a Coke and probably a beer and just food all over him. He's not one of the runners.
Amen.
He doesn't run. He's a watcher. He's watching all that. And it says, they that run. This is a unique honor. Those guys don't... You imagine how stupid it would be if that guy with all the pizza and popcorn says, I want to run in that. And he puts all that down, and he comes down, and he's down in his street clothes and says, can I run? Get out of here. You're not in this. You're not a part of the Olympic team. This is an honor to do this.
Amen.
This is an honor to be part of that. You just can't even you know, as somebody who might be in shape. You know, maybe he's up there and he didn't eat the pizza and all that. He wants to come down and run. He can't run either.
Right.
It's unique. It's a unique honor.
Praise the Lord.
It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. You know, another thing is interesting about watching the Olympics or games like this. It says that they run all. You watch these races, and man, these guys with big muscles and all that, like Ben John, I don't even know how they keep even running. They get down on the blocks and they're bristling, and and when they hit that gun, nobody's skipping. You ever notice that? They're not skipping, man. They're digging. They're digging all they want. They're running all. They're running for all they got. They're running for all they owe, all the trainings behind them, all the sacrifice behind them, all the stuff that they've invested and they've lost. They're all of that is, this is what I did it all for. And they're running and they're digging and they're going. You see their faces at the end of the race? They're all contorted. Yeah. You know, they don't care what they look like. They're in it. You know, they're in it. They're after it. They've got that tape. That's the tape. I'm going to be first at that tape. I'm going to run at that tape. They run all.
Amen.
Oh, no, we're distracted. You don't see the guys kind of wandering around after the... Huh? Did you shoot the gun? Oh! Oh, well, I'll do it next time. No, man, they're attentive.
Amen.
They're attentive because they got something invested in it. They got their life in it. They've got their sacrifice in it. They're there. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. Everybody's after that tape. You line up, man, you're after it. But it says here that only one wins. That's a sad part. You look at these races, and every now and then, one guy really leaves everybody, and, you know, he blows them out, and he's gone. But most of the time in the Olympic Games, kind of thing he's referring to here, somebody's just an inch ahead. You know, they're all running now, and they're just an inch ahead, and, man, the time is always a world record time. Every year it gets better and better, but only one guy wins. Only one guy a girl gets to stand up on the top thing and gets the gold medal on him, and then the banner comes down, and only one of them normally gets that. Only one person wins. But I'll tell you what, they run. They sacrifice. They're after it. Let's look at Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the second part of the verse back over there says, so run that ye may obtain. Yeah, remember how those guys ran? Paul's saying? You ever been to the race and saw their faces and saw their muscles and saw their intent and saw their determination? You ever seen that? You ever seen that, how they ran all out and how they ran with everything they had and how they ran with everything they wished they had and how they ran with stuff they didn't have?
Yeah, that's right.
He says, so run like that. He says, run like that. Run a spiritual race like that. Get involved like that. Run like those lost people run a race. Run like those people that are just bent on getting to the tape. You know, so oftentimes we're skippers. Or we're walkers. Or we're sitters. We're not involved in the spiritual work like they're involved in the Olympics. We don't run our spiritual lives like they run in the races. He says, so run that ye may obtain.
Amen.
So run like that, brothers and sisters. Run like that so ye may obtain. You may win. You know what's wild about this is that in the Olympics or those races, there's only one winner. Only one guy can participate in terms of get the glory, get the honor. But he's saying here, ye, and you look down here, it says, you know, but we an incorruptible crown. It's not just one winner in this race that's set before Christians.
Amen.
It's not just one winner that's going to blow everybody out. There's a wonderful opportunity for crowns, for awards, for rewards to win. We ought to live our life to win.
Amen.
To win spiritually, to win something God has given to those who overcome. But most of the time, we just kind of lollygag. Like, we're not in any kind of race. We just kind of lollygag like nothing's important. Like nothing's at stake. It says here, so run that ye may obtain. You ever think about who the ye is talking to? That ye may obtain. The ye is saved people.
Amen.
People bloodwashed.
Amen.
People have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The ye is not lost people. Religion gets us here. Religion gets a lost man to thinking that if you're just good enough, God will give you some awards. You're just good enough, God will give you some rewards. But it's just like the Olympics. I'll tell you what, lost man, if you're sitting in here today, dead men don't run races.
Amen.
Dead men don't participate in a spiritual work, a living work for God. It's just like the people standing up in the stands at the Olympics. They're not part of that team. You cannot get up as a lost man, come down like that, and just say, I want something from God. I want a reward. I want some reward. Religion will tell you you can get a reward by eating the cookie that the priest gives you. Here, you just eat this and you'll be all right. Religion will tell you that if you play with the beads, or if you get in the box and confess, or if you join the Baptist church, or if you could join this, you know, just be a member of something. Go to church. Go pray. Live a religious life. It's all wrong. You want to participate? You need to be alive. The Bible says you're dead in sin.
Amen.
The Bible says you're dead in sin. There's no award for you. There's no reward for you. There's only death. There's only judgment.
Amen.
You sit here today dead in trespasses and sin. You sit here today out of the body of God. You sit here today separated from God because of your sin. And religion doesn't remove sin. The priest, the man priest, doesn't remove sin. Mary doesn't remove sin. Church membership doesn't remove sin.
Amen.
Only the blood of Jesus Christ removes
Amen.
Sin. You're sitting here today in need of Jesus Christ, in need of life, in need of being born again. You must be born again. You must be born again to participate in what God has for you. You must be born again to participate in a race, in a wonderful opportunity. You must be born again to get the sin off you. So run that ye may obtain. Lost people in here today, you may not run. You cannot run. You're as dead to God as people are dead to us laying in the grave because of your sin, because of the idolatry in your heart, the covetousness, the adultery, the lying, the backbiting, the whispering. That's your problem. That has been every man's problem. It's only when you come to know Jesus Christ personally, repent, agree with God. Yes, God, you're right about me. I take you as my Lord and Savior. He freely gives it to you. But what we're talking about here today also is crowns that are earned. But only Christians can earn crowns. Only Christians can earn rewards. Only Christians can set in the blocks for God, get in the lane, look at the Lord Jesus Christ as our author and finisher, and take off.
Amen.
That's a race, that's a lane, that's a wonderful opportunity that only Christians can participate in. So run that ye may obtain. Look at verse 25 with me if you would. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And every man that striveth for the mastery. You know, back to the illustration of the Olympics. You know what, every man, you look down at the teams, the men and women, and you're sitting there and says, you know, I don't see all the endless hours that man worked or that woman worked, but they did work because they're here. It says here, every man striveth. The people that are in these races, they strove, they resisted, they grunted, they sacrificed for mastery, for excellence.
That's right.
They're the excellent people. They're the ones maybe they didn't have all the talent somebody else had, but they worked with what they had.
That's right.
Maybe they didn't have all the gifts that some other amazing athletes might have had, but they were willing to invest the time and the effort. They were willing to strive. They saw something excellent and they went after it.
Amen.
We're talking about lost people primarily, probably in these athletic games. We're talking about people who are going after something that's just going to fade. We're talking about people who invested and strived for mastery. You know how they did that? Temperate in all things. You know what? Their friends went out. They didn't go out.
Right.
Their friends ate all the junk that we eat, and they didn't eat that stuff.
Right.
Their friends didn't get up at 4:30 in the morning and go running, but they did day after day, year after year, by themselves alone. Nobody's seen it. Why? Something excellent was available to them. They saw in their mind standing up on top of a platform with a gold medal around their neck and then the banner of the United States of America and the Star Spangled Banner playing and all the eyes on earth watching
Amen.
Them for what they did. And they got up in the morning and they ran and they ate right and they did what
Amen.
They knew they had to do to win, and they got there.
Amen.
No man striveth. And every man striveth for mastery is temperate in all things.
Amen.
Temperate. They were tempered in their sleep. They were tempered in their food. They were tempered in their exercise. They were tempered in the amount of personal time they might have had with their family. They were tempered. They watched. They were careful. Striving for mastery. It put us to shame.
Yes,
amen. Striving for mastery. Something excellent. Are we striving for anything excellent? I mean, where we get up at 4:30 in the morning and get with God, nobody sees you. Do you have the faith to get up at 4:30 in the morning to get with God and ask God to do something with you? Lord, you're the most excellent thing that has ever, ever existed on earth.
Amen.
And you're available to me. May I strive for your excellence. May I strive for your face. May I strive for your work.
Amen.
And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Let's look at a couple of verses, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. says here, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know these athletes? Well, how many times they fell down and just totally mangled their face and knees? Running faster than they ever had before. Blood everywhere. Wonder how many times the weightlifters actually broke the skin on their palms, lifting up too much weight, and the skin just came right off their palms. I wonder how many times the people that do the wonderful gymnastics have fallen and broken bones. I wonder how many times they've hurt themselves and bled and bruised themselves and broken bones and done things that we would just look aghast at for something like that. Now here it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and those striving against sin in the garden, just sweating drops of blood, but I want to use it as an illustration how little we strive. I mean, strive to blood, you're kidding. I won't even get up an hour early. I don't, you know, there's some of us that don't even come to church regularly.
That's right.
Strive against sin to blood? They put us to shame. I mean, you look at these athletes, these games. Paul made this illustration by the Spirit of God. Look at these games and these people. They are so willing to do anything to win. That crown is what they want. They have decided, I want that. I'm going to get that. I'm going to pay what it takes. I'm going to give what I need to. I don't care what I got to do. I'm going to get that. I'm going to do better than the next guy. I've got to. I've got to exercise more. I've got to strive more. I'm going to resist what I want, and I'm going after that. Anybody in this room, look at the opportunities Jesus Christ gives to Christians. Has anyone made that decision like that? Anybody? Let's look at Luke 13:24. It says here, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You know, you go back to looking at athletes who got on a routine. They knew that they had a narrow walk. They knew that if they were going to make it, they had a narrow way to go, a straight gate. Striving to stay on that, striving to stay on their routine, striving to stay on what they knew they had to do. You kind of use that same thing in terms of a Christian and holiness, and we're just kind of all over the road all the time.
Yeah.
Brothers, the Lord Jesus Christ is our way. He was our way in eternal life. He's our way in this life. He's our way in our ministry. He is our way. It's a straight way. It's not our way. It's not anything we want to meander around in. It's a routine like an exercise. It's something you put your mind to and you stay on His way. It's a straight gate. How can we expect to finish with a crown? How can we expect to finish with any honor? Just meandering around all over the place. It says here, it's a principle of life. The straight way is the right way. And you'll not enter in. You'll not enter in on another road. Look back at 1 Corinthians if we could. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Now they do it. Well, what do? They get up early in the morning to obtain a corruptible crown. They deprive their bodies to obtain a corruptible
Amen.
Crown.
That's right.
They eat right to obtain a corruptible crown. They're careful of what they put in their mind and in their mouth to obtain a corruptible crown. They get up and exercise and run and invest and maybe quit their jobs to obtain a corruptible crown. A corruptible crown. You ever sat at the TV and watched the awards? Man. That one winner gets to stand up on a platform above everybody else, above it all. And in his mind, every now and then they'll give you a background of the person on that platform. They'll show you out in a field or something, all the stuff he's done and the places he's run. And you get a picture of what he's been through to stand there. You get a picture of what he has accomplished to be able to be there. And the banners. You ever see the banners that they drop? What do they do when the one wins? It's the flag of that country. It's that big, beautiful banner they drop down before that person. And he stands up there and he bows, and they put a beautiful gold medal on there, a valuable gold medal. And the flag goes up, and they begin to play the Star-Spangled Banner. And I don't know how many times you've seen that, but I've looked at that, and I've seen them standing there in tears, emotion, just running down their face, and they're just totally overcome by this moment. That's their crown. And they play that song, and it's thrilling. Think about that banner, that banner that they get to stand in front of, the United States flag, the country, the most powerful country in the world. What a banner to stand there. What a banner to have lifted up for you because you won. What a crown. What a medal. What a time. What an instance in time when all the world is looking down and knows your name for a few minutes. A few minutes. Man, they worked hard for that. That was their goal. That was the reason they existed. That was the reason they went through all that. And they won it. And they think, what a glorious banner. What a reward. What a reward ceremony. What a ceremony. What an honor. What a blessing. How moving that is. Christians, do you realize? Have you read in Revelation? There's a Lord's ceremony waiting for us. There's a Lord's ceremony. There's some things that are going to be passed out. You talk about a banner. Let's look at some banners. Let's look at Psalm 60. We'll look at some banners this morning. They always lift a banner in the Olympics games. They always do. Look at Psalm 60, verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of thy truth. We have a banner.
Amen.
We have a banner that will be displayed because of his truth. We have a banner we'll be proud of. We have a banner that God will lift up at a ceremony for the people that have overcome, for the ceremony that people have run a good race, have finished the course, and for a ceremony that God will lift a banner and says, here's your banner. You think the United States flag is a wonderful banner? Man, have about a banner like that.
Hallelujah.
That's a banner. Let's look at Psalm 20, verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions.
Amen.
Praise God. In his name to set up a banner.
Amen.
What a banner. Banner than Lord Jesus Christ. You think we have a wonderful country to run for, and think of a wonderful country, and we do. I praise the Lord that we live in this kind of land. But I tell you what, as proud as we are of that banner, that stars and stripes that fly against the blue skies, I tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to lift up a banner of such glory, such magnitude. His name will be on it. We'll be so proud of it. We'll be so happy to be participating in a ceremony like that. This is real, folks. A real ceremony. A real award ceremony for Christians that have striven and worked and gone on, have believed that there's some crowns available, some crowns that they want, and they went after it, and God raised up a banner and says, I'm proud of you. This is your award ceremony.
Amen.
Let's go on and look at Song of Solomon 6 verse 4. Talk about a glorious banner. Chapter 6 verse 4. Thou art beautiful, O my love. You look at the flag, say, oh, that's a beautiful flag. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. What a banner he's got. What a glorious, powerful banner he is. It's like an army with banners. A whole army, thousands of banners. His banner is a majestic banner. His a banner of great beauty, of great glory, of great power. We'll be so proud of it. We'll be so honored by it. Are you running for that banner?
Amen.
How about Song of Solomon, just back over chapter 2. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
No one loves me like he loves.
Amen.
We might love our country. Our country doesn't love us like we love it.
Amen.
It's just a country. It's an inanimate object. It can't give anything back. We raise the flag, and we feel some kind of emotion for that flag, some kind of yearning. I don't know what to do with it, but it gives nothing back to me really. I mean, I get to live in this country, but his banner, that banner of great glory and power and honor and majesty, that banner over me is love.
Amen.
Is love.
Amen.
Are you running for a banner of love?
What a banner. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. We got a banner here in the United States, but are you running for his banner? Do you get up in the morning to look for him, for his banner? Are you running a race for his banner? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. But we an incorruptible. You know, recently I had the weirdest 3 days of my life. I really did. I work for a company that we go on the neatest trips. But once or twice a year, I really get to go to nice places. You know, they send us first class. We get to fly where we're going, and they put us in world-class hotels, and they feed us lobster and shrimp, and just spoil us rotten. I'm so embarrassed. I just, you know, all right, here I come. I gotta go. Sorry, Cindy. Gotta work. You know, going to work. See, she knows that's what it is. I come back and say, look, I got bony fingers from all the work I got. But, and so I know I get to go, you know, I get into California and all these places, and I just praise the Lord I have the job I do. But, why is that? I didn't mean to say a joke. Anyway. You got it. See, now this time they warned us, you're going to a training camp first 3 days this week. About a month ago, and they started getting our measurements over the phone. Now, what do you wear this? And I went, wait a minute, you know. And about a week before it, I got this little survival kit in an army bag. And they won't tell us where we're going. So, you know, Monday morning we get up real early and get on the plane, and, you know, I'm reading the Bible and wondering, where am I going? I get off the plane and we all file over to the office, and they get this big bus and they put us in the bus, and you know, it's a nice bus and it's Cokes and chips in there. They're spoiling us as usual, and we take off somewhere in Oklahoma, and we get about 10 minutes away from where we're going, and we look up over this hill and there's a big water tower, and they say, there's Fort Motorola. That's where you're going. And we get out of the bus, we come up to the bus, and there's these little Quonset huts. I thought it was in the Marines. It looked like a Marine camp. I get out of the bus, and there's these men that I used to know, you know, and they're in regalia, like military guy with TIs, and they got bullhorns, and they're screaming at us like pukes and geeks, get out of the bus. Line up in squadrons, 4 squadrons, now, go. And they start calling off names. And so people start, you know, getting into it. Yo! What do you mean, yo? Are you here or not? You know, and stuff like that. They're barking back at us. And we did well last year. I wonder what would happen if we did bad. But anyway. So they say, all right, go in your barracks. Your names are on your doors. Get in your uniforms and report back here pronto. So we go in, and I there's this yellow sweats, and I put this thing on, and, you know, I come back out, and it's all baggy, and you're, you know, just, and you're back out like this, and that was it. We spent three days, and our vice president was communicating to us a goal he wanted us to do. To grow our business by an insurmountable amount. To do 50% of what we did last year plus. No one's ever done that before. But he got it in his mind that it was possible. And he trained us. He put us in a boot camp. We stayed in filthy rooms without bathrooms and phones. I got up at 4:30 because they want to come and get us up at 5:30 with bullhorns, and I don't want to go through that. They came in screaming at us with bullhorns, inspections in the dark. I thought it was a hostile Japanese takeover. I didn't know what was going on. But you know what he did? He convinced us. He convinced us that the goal he had was possible. We marched. Na 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 na. I'll never get that out of my mind. We march. This, at the end, he's saying, you must live this if you're going to do it. You must live this. It's possible. And there was not a man in that room that almost wasn't moved to tears. There's not a man in that room that didn't realize that what he said before us was possible, and it took striving, and it took work, it took determination, but he says it's a goal of honor. And he got the commitment of every person willingly. We screamed our voices out, and about halfway through it, I began to be convicted. About halfway through it, I says, I'm not like these people are in spiritual things. After 3 days of working me and training me and busting me, I came to a point in my job where I says, I can do that. I'm going after that. I see it. He made me believe it. He shamed me. I want to go back to a mediocre Christian life. I want to go back to a life when God Himself has allowed me to run in a race, to get crowns. And the reason that I get to run in a crown, a race where I can get a crown, is because He wore a crown of thorns. And He died and He bled. And I'm going to go to Him at an award ceremony full of millions of Christians. I'm going to tell Him I didn't want to run. I didn't care what You had for me, Lord. I wanted to come back and communicate and share with you what I saw. And to hopefully open your eyes.
Amen.
To a crown, brothers and sisters. A crown of reward. Amen. From the living God of heaven and earth. The God who spoke eternity into existence. The God who made all things. The God, the same God who walked in this filthy world in a body like yours and me, never sinned, and went to the cross to die. And we've taken His salvation. We've obtained the freeness. And He put before us a race, an opportunity. And He says, run it.
Amen.
Run it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Anybody in here doing this? Every weight. Those guys, they train, they wait, they drop that weight and run with patience. Man, they get up early and daily and the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I got other verses, I don't even want to read them. I just want you to realize what's available.
That's right.
That's my whole point. I want you to realize what's available. Some of us in this room are about to stop running. We're about to quit. Some of us in this room are just about finished. Let me read you a verse. You did run well. Who did hinder you?
Yeah,
that you should not obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of Him that calls you. There's some wives in here that are a real hindrance. They're husbands.
That's right.
You got a husband maybe that's trying to do a work for God, trying to run a race for God. And you're distracting him, you're waiting to him, and you're making him double-minded. Are you causing your husband to miss a crown? What are you doing to your family? The Bible here says, this persuasion comes not of him. There's some husbands in here. The wives are burdened about a ministry, burdened about a work, burdened about something. And you don't think it's real, and you're not giving it any type of interest or help or burden or prayer, and you're a hindrance to her.
Yeah. Amen.
You did run well. Who did hinder you? And there's Christians in this world, in this room, that have never done. There are spiritual spectators. You sit like the people up in the Olympics, fat and unexercised spiritually. You look down in judgment and critical. You sit up there with the lost people and judge the church. You can't make it to church. You can't make it to the meetings. You can't make it out to Operation Somebody Cares. You can't make it to anything. I want to read a verse out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? You need to get busy.
Amen.
You need to get off your spiritual backside.
Amen.
And get up. Get down there and begin training.
Amen.
Get down there with the troops, with the body. You're sitting up with the lost. Get down with the body of Christ and try to run. And the lost, the wages of sin is death. You sit here today dead. Religion has told you all your life to get up and get busy. Start running. Dead men don't run. Dead men just decay. Dead men just rot. Dead men just stink. What you need is life. What you need is to be born again from above. What you need is to admit to God that you're a failure, that you're lost, that you're a sinner, and to ask God to save me. I trust you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Today, if you'll do that, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll just do that today, believing, you can enter this race. You can start a work for God. You can end up with a crown.
Amen.
I'm going to read one last verse. Then I want to sing 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. Paul's testimony after his life. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I want to ask Christians, the Spirit of God has pointed out to you that you're a spiritual spectator and you need to get in the race. The Spirit of God has pointed out to you that there are crowns there for you, and you're going to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and tell Him they weren't worth fighting for. You need to make a decision. You need to make it today. Why don't you decide to get off the bench, get down in the pit, and run? Tell God that, use me, I'm willing, I want to stay in the course, I want to stay in the lane, I want to be like Paul, I want to press on. I invite you to make that decision today. Lost men, lost women, in this room, that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that don't know Him, you need to be born again. I invite you to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and save you and change your life and do something with your destiny, your eternity. You go to an eternal hell, eternal judgment. You'll either meet God as your judge or as your Savior. Make Him your Savior today. Heavenly Father, I ask that every heart would respond exactly as you would have it to. I ask that you'd have the glory of God. I ask that you save souls here today. I ask you change Christians' lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to stand and sing number 332. This is a difficult hymn to sing sometimes. It's talking about how much you love Jesus, how much you've given to Jesus. Can you sing this hymn today, number 332? Can you sing it today in a good conscience, in a clear conscience, steadfast? I invite you to make the decision God has told you to make as we sing this. Come down here, get on your face, and ask God to do something with you. Number 332.